from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin for today. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and My Indonesia. We will continue our program with News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. President Joko Widodo emphasized key points for houses of state civil servants and personnel of Indonesian military and police. Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked to improve defense industry with technology innovations. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo led a limited cabinet meeting that discussed about providing houses for state civil apparatus, personnel of the Indonesian military, and members of the Indonesian police at presidential's office in Jakarta on Wednesday. At his instruction, he explained that several key aspects that must be paid attention at the program are land availability, model, finance, and accessibility. Besides, President Joko Widodo also emphasized the program of house provisions must be integrated with economic development that supports the region.
Aspek penyiapan lahan dan nanti minta laporan.
I will ask the report whether it is vertical or not related to aspect of land. Secondly, it is about accessibility of working place, and then it is related to integration with economic development that supports the areas, and also what kinds of finance is. So the finance can be from state budget, the state-owned enterprises, or from private sectors. But what is the model? President Joko Widodo also explained that the government will concentrate on accelerating the program implementation for 945,000 civil servants, 275,000 personnel of Indonesian military, and 360,000 personnel of Indonesian police across Indonesia. He also said that the program is aimed at making the civil servants, personnel, or the Indonesian military and members of the Indonesian police concentrate in working and bring about multi-effect to trigger economic growth from many activities, in a bid to accelerate the program of the house development. Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened Indo Defense Expo and Forum, which is the exhibition and forum for the main weaponry system Alutsista, produced domestically in Jakarta on Wednesday. Domestic producers such as PT Pindad produces the main weaponry system for the Army, PT PAL for the Navy, and PT Dirgantara Indonesia for the Air Force. He also pointed out that a country needs security and defense to protect the country and its people from various threats, both internally and externally. A country must have armed forces and sophisticated weapons. Thus, Vice President Yusuf Kalla, which is also a world peace leader, asked for domestic defense industry to improve technological and scientific innovation.
Industri pertahanan adalah dibutuhkan untuk
the defense industry is needed to be independent. We have experience when embargoed in the 90s because of the Timor problem. How difficult it was to obtain defense equipment because of the embargo. Thus, a country must be ready to be independent of its own capabilities for its technology. In addition, we have to cooperate with other countries.
Atas kemampuannya sendiri dan atas teknologinya, di samping tentu bekerja sama dengan negara-negara yang lain.
Vice President Yusuf Kalla encouraged cooperation of defense industries among countries to produce weapons in a bid to maintain peace and anticipate the threats of terrorism and radicalism. The event also organizes aerospace and helicopter exhibitions, Indo-Aerospace featuring Indo-Helicopter 2018 Expo and Forum, and Maritime Exhibition Indo-Marine 2018 Expo and Forum. Those who were present at the exhibition, which take place for 4 days, the 6th Vice President Tri Sutrisno, Defense Minister Yami Satriakudu, Chief of Armed Forces Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, and dozens of delegates from friendly countries, including Malaysia, Australia, Japan, and Saudi Arabia. Presiden Joko Widodo held audience of the preparation of mass production of electric motorcycle Gesits at Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. This was attended by Minister of Research and Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, and some related stakeholders in developing electric motorcycle Gesits. After holding the audience, the president tested directly the prototype of electric motorcycle produced by Indonesian people. To the media, he also expressed his appreciation over the presence of the electric motorcycle made in Indonesia.
Jadi apapun asal harganya kompetitif.
Whatever the motorcycle is, the important thing is that the price is competitive and more efficient compared with conventional ones, and it will be welcomed by market. I think the faster is the better. The brand of the motorcycle launched in Indonesian market is very good. President Joko Widodo also highlighted the readiness of Indonesia to provide materials needed as support for the electric motorcycles.
Ini yang paling krusial ini kan produksi baterainya.
The most crucial is the lithium battery production. We have the raw material. If the battery is available, we can take it everywhere. The key is on the battery, including the charging for battery for 3 hours, and it is so fast. I look at the motorcycle exhibition. It was 8 hours. Now I'm surprised that the battery can be recharged for 3 hours.
Saya kemarin lihat di pameran motor kemarin 8 jam ini saya kaget bisa 3 jam.
The electric motorcycle Gesits has passed a series of tests before it is launched in the market. Minister of Research and Technology and High Education Muhammad Nasir said that the electric motorcycle is the production of Surabaya Technology Institute and it has been tested by riding Jakarta Bali. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration, Eko Putro Sanjoyo, said that since the establishment of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and the Czech Republic in 1993, the two countries has cooperated in various fields, such as education, tourism, and trade. In the trade sector, the trade value of Indonesia and the Czech Republic increases steadily, namely by 5%. However, this has not shown the true potential of the trade relation between the two countries. Thus, the cooperation between the two countries must continue to be improved. This was stated by Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo in his remarks at the 100th anniversary of the establishment of the Czech Republic in Jakarta recently.
In bilateral trade relation, we observe a steady rise of 5% each year. In 2017, in value, reached $265 million. This, however, does not reflect the true potential of our relation. The visit by business delegation accompanying by His Excellency Milan State last September is one among many ways to increase our trade value by bringing together our business and to frequent the contact among them.
Furthermore, Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo said that Czech Republic entrepreneurs have invested in microfinance activities in Indonesia since 5 years ago. He called for other Czech business people to invest in Indonesia because there is a lot of potential in rural areas that should be explored. Indonesian swallow nests are increasingly recognized and favored by Chinese people, considering that a number of quality and health requirements have been recognized. So the nests are safe for consumption. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Chairman of the Indonesian Bird Nest Entrepreneur Association, Budi Imranata, told the press in Shanghai, China on Wednesday that it is not easy to supply bird nests to China because in 2010 to 2011, Indonesian bird nests were once banned from entering. At that time, Indonesia was attacked by bird flu. He added that with the increasing demand for bird nests to China, Indonesian Ministry of Trade considers the need for clear rules, especially related to the quality. Ministry of Trade and the Quarantine Agency are also involved in contributing to the health and hygiene of bird nest products for export. Currently, the number of bird nest companies that have the right to export reaches 21 companies with annual production of 1,105 tons. The association continues to encourage the number of exporters to increase so that it can meet export demand. Indonesia continues to look for the best strategies to promote various export products by participating in international trade fairs spreading across a number of countries. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Director General of National Export Development at Indonesian Ministry of Trade, Arlinda, told the press in Shanghai, China on Wednesday that Indonesia would not stop promoting in one country, but would continue to look for opportunities for Indonesian products to become more known and add known oil and gas foreign exchange. The ministry attempts to optimally find potential countries. In every trade promotion abroad, the trade ministry also tries to increase trade transaction. Permanent representative from 8 member countries of Food and Agriculture Agency, FAO, United Nations, visited a number of regions in Indonesia to study farming system from October 31st to November 3rd. In a written statement from FAO, received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Wednesday, the delegates from Algeria, Australia, Chile, Jordan, Nigeria, Norway, Thailand, and the United States visited Central Java and Bali to witness FAO's support for the Indonesian government's efforts to improve agricultural development. FAO representative in Indonesia, Stephen Rugrad, said that the delegates visited Central Java to witness the demonstration of mina rice in Sukoharjo district, which was FAO collaboration with the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fishery and the government to develop innovative mina rice practices. After Sukoharjo, the delegation headed to Yogyakarta to study the Ministry of Agriculture program supported by FAO and the U.S. International Development Assistance Agency, USAID, to detect and eradicate outbreaks of poultry that can threaten the human population. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, in commentary with title The Meanings of Heroes Day at Present. Becoming a hero is identical to struggle both physically and non-physically. In Indonesia, Heroes Day is identical to the happening of war to defend independence on November 10, 1945, by Arek-Arek Surabaya in Surabaya, East Java. In addition to the incident of tearing the Dutch flag at hotel in Surabaya, the death of British Allied leader Brigadier Malabi has triggered the Allies to carry out massive attacks in Surabaya city, assisted by Dutch soldiers through NICA, namely the Dutch Army, which was a semi-military organization formed on April 3, 1944. The Dutch Army was tasked with restoring the civil administration and the law of the Dutch colonial government after Japan surrendered to the Second World War. The meaning of being a hero is no longer related to the spirit of fighting against the invaders. However, that meaning is associated with the spirit of daring to sacrifice for something that is factual for the nation, state, and people. Ministry of Social Affairs in commemorating 2018 Heroes Day, which fell on November 10th, gave the theme, The Spirit of Heroes, on my chest. As quoted from the mandate of the Minister of Social Affairs, Heroes Day implies, in accordance with its nature, within each person embedded in heroic values. Thus, anyone can be a hero. Every citizen of Indonesia can take the initiative to devote useful things to welfare, environment, nation, and state. The meaning of Heroes Day at present can be a struggle against something that makes noise in the public. Take, for example, someone must dare to fight hoax or false news that has now become a threat to the peace and unity of the people. Playing on social media, which is an effective means of disseminating information, must be addressed wisely. Accuracy, understanding, and core news that we read and see are hero actions. Calling someone to take acts of kindness to abandon deviant activities. is also a positive step for such a hero, such as avoiding corruption, gratification, and bribery. Indeed, every struggle must have result, but there is no final word to fight. Every period of struggle continues in the next period of struggle according to the situation and conditions. Thus, the commemoration of Heroes Day must be able to create good ideas and programs of the spirit of the hero into tenacity in carrying out the development of the nation and state. Fighting can be done not only in group, but also in individual that may bring about good name of the nation and country. This can be referred to the highest achievement and capabilities as proven by Indonesian athletes in Asian Games 2018 and Asian Para Games 2018. So, fighting sickly and non-sickly for good things by the people without seeing the profit loss, who wins or loses based on justice and honesty, can be said as the action of a true hero. That's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listener, meet again with me in our regular program Today in History over Area World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on November the 9th, 1939, when Adolf Hitler escaped from the assassination attempt in Munich. Adolf Hitler was German Chancellor from 1933 and Führer or German leader since 1934 until his death. Every November, he always attended a meeting which routinely held at Aula Bier. Johann Georg Elster, a German communist who worked as a carpenter, succeeded to escape from examination and entered into Aula to plant a bomb. Elster was against Hitler's efforts that wanted to unite laborers in one party, namely Nazi. Elster also rejected to give Nazi-style salute. His hatred increased when Hitler launched attack to Poland as the commencement of the World War II in September 1939. Finally, he decided to kill Hitler by placing a time bomb on one of the pillars behind the podium where Hitler would give speech. But Elster's plan failed because Hitler left the aula earlier from the schedule which had been determined. 8 minutes after Hitler left, the time bomb exploded and killed 8 people. 7 of them were Nazi members and injured 65 others, including father of Eva Braun, Hitler's wife. Elster was arrested when he was trying to penetrate borders of Germany and Switzerland in Constance. After he recognized his action, Elster was carried out to the concentration camp in Sachsenhausen and sent again to Dachau concentration camp. The next event is that in 1949, World Town Planning Day was established. International Organization for World Town Planning Day was established on November the 8th, 1949 by Professor Carlos Maria de la Paulera from Buenos Aires University. Then the date was decided as World Town Planning Day, which is one of forms to awaken world spatial structure. Until now, 30 countries commemorate World Town Planning Day. The commemoration is aimed at enhancing awareness and also appreciation of public and professionalism on efforts of spatial structure, either locally or globally. The last event is that in 2002, the United Nations Security Council issued Resolution 1441.
The resolution offered to Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein the last chance to meet demands for disarmament, which had been determined in some resolution before. The UN Security Council unanimously passed the resolution 1441 from 15 members of the UN Security Council, Russia, China, France, and Arabic countries such as Syria to support the resolution 1441. The support was broader than support for the resolution of the 1990 Gulf War. That was Today in History.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. Today we'll bring you a topic about Minister of Environment and Forestry invites Cianjur local people to save Citarum watershed. Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakarsat, the area of critical land in Indonesia currently is around 14 million hectares. In West Java Province, the area of critical land reaches more than 900,000 hectares or around 6.51%. Minister Siti Nurbaya said this during the socialization of 25 tree planting event for life in the context of Citarum watershed damage control located at Wangunjaya Village, Cugenang Sub-District, Cianjur Regency, West Java Province on Saturday, November 3 last week. The minister also said critical land will have an impact on floods, landslides and droughts. Therefore, one of the efforts to reduce the impact is by doing rehabilitation of forest and land, mainly tree planting, and the construction of erosion and sedimentation technical buildings. The Minister of Environment and Forestry said, Cianjur Regency is located in the upper watershed of the Citarum River, precisely the Cisokan sub-watershed, the Cikundul sub-watershed, and the Cibalagung sub-watershed, where the river flow will be accommodated in its existence and function. Minister Siti Nurbaya said, the rescue action of Citarum watershed in Cianjur is very important for Jakarta, since the upstream river has a very important in preventing floods and landslides. By planting 25 trees for life can build forest in the residence area. In addition, to prevent the watershed damage, Minister Siti Nurbaya also called all parties to be able to utilize natural resources in the watershed well as to consider various interests in their management. The movement to plant 25 trees for life is conducted based on the instruction of the Environment and Forestry Minister. The community are required to plant and maintain at least 25 trees during their lifetime, during school period until they are married. Siti Nurbaya said the planting effort can succeed if it is carried out appropriately, type selection, nursery, planting time, maintenance until harvesting properly. Various actions to save Citarum watershed from damage continue to be carried out by the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, in addition to build 27 drag dam units and 95 gully plug units or cliff control. The Ministry also conducts forest and land rehabilitation in Cianjur Regency at a 10 hectares multi-purpose forest and in the 700 hectares Perhutani area. The Environment and Forestry Ministry also shared 15,250 productive seeds for the community. That was My Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian swallow nests are increasingly recognized and favored by Chinese people, considering that a number of quality and health requirements have been recognized. Indonesia continues to look for the best strategies to promote various export products by participating in international trade fairs spreading across a number of countries. Permanent representative from 8 member countries of Food and Agriculture Agency FAO United Nations visited a number of regions in Indonesia to study farming system from October 31st to November 3rd. Listener, that was News in Brief over at RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance. Stay tuned. Listener, on November 5 to 12, Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X of Yogyakarta and the art team of the Yogyakarta Palace visited the United States. The visit of Sultan and his entourage fulfilled an invitation from Wesleyan University located in Connecticut, the United States, and a number of other institutions in the land of Uncle Sam. While at Wesleyan University on November 9, 2018, the arts team of Yogyakarta Palace shows three sacred dances such as Klana Swendana Gandrung Papat Mas Dance, Mena Umar Maya Umar Madi Golek Dance, and Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance composed by Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. From the three dances, we invite you to know one of dances, namely the Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance is one of Yogyakarta classical dance created by Sultan Hamengkubuwono X. The dance is a legitimacy of Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X to Swargi, or the late Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. The Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance has a philosophical concept, namely being faithful to promises, courageous, strong, tolerant, and always doing good. The basic concept of the dance comes from Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono X, while the choreography is worked by K.R.T. Sasmintadipura. Listener, Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance was firstly performed at Bangsal Kencono during the appointment and presentation of the title of National Hero to Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX. In 1990, Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance was danced by 9 female dancers and lasted 2.5 hours. The dance is accompanied by dramatic rhythms that describe tenderness as the most essential symbolization, since the kings have their own expressions and concepts in their service to the people. The dancers wore black kebaya combined with jari clothes and yellow sampur shawl and hairband. The Bahdaya Sang Amurwabhumi Dance Show consists of scenes divided into three main dance movements as a symbol of the concept of Tri Tirta. The dance has 10 initial movements, including Nyembah, Jengkeng, Ngembat, Ngelayang, Nyembah, Jumeneng Panggel Mapan, Imbal, and Gitrah. The dance does not only rely on gestures, but also the mind and feelings. In the past, the dance only allowed to be performed by the courtiers because it was very sacred. However, as the time goes by, and in an effort to preserve culture, anyone can learn the dance. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Budaya Sang Amarwa Bumi Dance from Yogyakarta. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. In today's edition, we will present you information about Indonesia is the world's first most generous country. Stay tuned. Listeners, the recent 2018 World Giving Index report published by Charities Aid Foundation, or CAF, in the United Kingdom shows that Indonesia is the world's most generous country. The survey and research were conducted by CAF, which is a UK's non-profit organization involving in charity activities. The data of the survey was collected by US research company called GaleUp. The result of the survey and research conducted by the CAF was published as a report entitled CAF World Giving Index 2018. There are three aspects analyzed and evaluated in the research. Those are initiatives of helping strangers, donating money for charity, and willingness to become volunteers. The data was analyzed from 2013 to 2017. It was submitted in 2017. The survey was participated in by more than 150,000 people from 146 countries. The result shows that Indonesia is on the first position. Australia is the second one, New Zealand is the third one, and the US is the fourth one. From these three aspects, 78% of Indonesian people are fond of donating their money to each other, while 53% of Indonesian people are keen on volunteering. In addition, 46% of Indonesian people love helping strangers. The total score for Indonesia is 96%. Three Asian countries reached the top positions in the survey, namely Indonesia, Singapore, and Myanmar. Singapore is on the 7th position with total percentage of 54%, while Myanmar is on the 9th position with the same percentage. However, Singapore and Myanmar have different points in some aspects. Singapore and Haiti are the two countries to be named as the top 20 of the world's most generous countries for the first time. Singapore was on the 56th position 5 years ago. According to the research, the highest aspect of the survey is helping strangers. If the data is ordered from the last 5 years, Myanmar was the world's most generous country. Over the last 5 years, Myanmar's point for the aspect of donating money was 90%. Meanwhile, Indonesia itself ranked the 7th. Listeners, that was Miscellany. See you on our next edition.
We We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present nostalgic pop songs from Diana Nasution. Let's listen to the first song entitled Benci Tapi Rindu by Diana Nasution. Happy listening.
Sekedar penghibur diriku ini.
That was the song Benci Tapi Rindu by Diana Nasution. The song was composed by Rinto Harahap, which raised the name of Diana Nasution in the Indonesian music industry. The song tells the story of a woman who loves her partner, although the man break his promise. Well, listener, now we continue the music corner with the next song entitled Malam Yang Dingin by Diana Nasution. Happy listening.
Teringat aku akan dirimu sayang, hanya engkaulah kasihku seorang. Mungkinkah kau akan kembali sayang, walaupun itu hanya sedetik.
You've just listened to the song Malam Yang Dingin by Diana Nasution, a legendary singer from Indonesia. She started her singing career since the 1970s. Initially, she joined in a duo group along with her sister Rita Nasution. The duo group called Nasist stands for Nasution sister. However, Nasist had to disperse because Rita Nasution decided to concern in her solo career. Despite vacuum, in 1977, Diana Nasution joined with Melky Goeslaw to follow the National Singer Festival. The duet of Diana and Melky won the second place in the event, thanks to the song Bila Cengkeh Berbunga and Malam Yang Dingin, composed by Mingus Tahito. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jangan Biarkan and Kau Bukan Milikku. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Hujan turun membasahi bumi atau bulan yang tiada berseri. Oh, namun jangan kau biarkan ku seorang.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.